الذين ينضموا للاستماع إلى راديو بلدي أو الراديو عربي أمريكي ويعنى بقضايا العرب في المهجر. برامجنا في راديو بلدي كل يوم جمعة من 8 حتى 9 صباحا في بث حي ومباشر عبر WNZK Radio 690 AM. صباح الخير بلدي، صباح الخير لكل مستمعينا.
Welcome to Radio Baladi, the first Arab, Middle Eastern and American simulcast radio show. Radio Baladi is broadcast every Friday morning on WNZK 690 AM from 8 until 9 Eastern Time on Des Moines, Michigan. Our call-in number 248-557-3300. And now, stay tuned for the best radio talk show on Arab and American issues.
Good morning and thank you for being with us. This is Khalil Hashem. Welcome to US Arab Radio. We appreciate your taking the time to be with us, and you are the best of audience. We have a great program for you today. Our community is growing tremendously. We have judges, politicians at the local, state, and national levels. We have thousands of professionals who have either graduated or on the way to graduate from various universities in all kinds of disciplines. The emphasis seems to be on medicine, pharmacy, law, or engineering. But then there are a few people who have decided to major in different fields. I remember when I majored in journalism, everyone I knew was surprised. But in general, we want our children in our community to go into the medical field. This is something either we bring with us or we see, you know, benefit in it. But then there are a few who want to chart their own path that's different than others. With us this morning is one of these young men, Laith Shama. His father is world-renowned fertility doctor, Dr. Shama, Nicholas Shama, but he wants to go into sports instead of following the footsteps of his father. Good morning, Laith, and thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So what do you want to do when you grow up?
Well, I would love to pursue football professionally.
Why football in particular?
Well, it was not really football in particular. It's just that me being as large and big as I am, it was the best bet and the best sport to actually pursue in terms of wanting to play professionally, because I knew I wanted to play sports.
Okay. Yeah. I understand. You know, I think you're much braver than me, because when I came to this country, I was a very good volleyball player, and I never went into playing it professionally because I came up with the mindset that you got to go to school and, you know, and major into either engineering or something instead of really taking advantage of the ability that I had, which is playing volleyball. You know, right. How did you come up onto making this decision? Did you make it on your own? Because normally people follow their footsteps of their parents.
Well, so yeah, I really made it on my own. About my freshman year in high school, I was really just focusing on school, trying to get good grades. And I started, and let's actually go before that. Before that, I had always played sports. I partook in Taekwondo. I was a black belt. I played tennis. And that was when I was much smaller. And as I got bigger, I started to want to play basketball, football. And it really just came up as a coach reached out to me and he realized how large I was. And he knew I was already getting good grades. And my coach's fault that I'm playing football now. He told me that I can play in college and get my degree paid for. And it sounded very nice to me to not have to pay for actual school. So
what are you going to school for?
I'm studying finance right now.
Finance?
Yes.
Yeah. Where are you going to school?
The University of Toledo, where I actually play football right now.
You play for the University of Toledo?
Yes.
You play football, but you play offense, defense? What?
So yeah, I play defense. I play defensive line.
Okay.
All across, yeah.
Yeah. How tall are you?
6'5".
Okay.
Yeah.
And how what's your weight?
I'd say like in pounds, 276 pounds, and in kgs, like whatever, like 125 maybe.
Sure. Yeah, that's a lot of power there.
That's a lot of weight for sure.
Yeah,
it's pretty hard to maintain it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love football. I think football is one of the best games out there, and I think you're very lucky. You know that your coach really encouraged you to go that way. I remember when I learned tennis when I was in Florida. I was 27, and the coach there said to me, "Had he encountered me at 13 or 14, I would have been, you know, I would have been a one of those big players." You know, I love sports.
You seem to be very good at sports, volleyball.
Yes,
and tennis.
Certain sports. I'm not good at basketball, and I'm not good at soccer, but I'm good at volleyball and tennis. You know, eye-hand coordination, I'm good at those. You know, and I'm not half as big as you are, so
right.
that makes a difference. That means. How did your family feel about the decision?
Well, so my dad at first did not want me to play football as he was scared for my actual well-being.
Yeah,
because he thinks of football as a very dangerous sport, in which some could say it is. But my high school coach that got me into football eventually convinced him, and convinced my mom as well. And they just let me do what I wanted to do, basically. And I was a very hard-nosed kid at the time, so you couldn't really tell me that I couldn't play football.
Sure. So this is something you really wanted. It's not like a decision that the family made.
Oh, for sure. None of my brothers at the time had wanted to play such a sport, so it was kind of hard to convince them. But luckily, I had a good coach who fought for me, I guess.
That's good. Yeah, I can see your father saying no, you know, maybe. Yeah. Did he want to go into medicine?
Well, he never really cared whether I went into medicine or studied business or went into law school. Like those have always been my three options, and he never really cared which one I pursued, actually. And he really just asked me whether it was something I really wanted to do. And I said yes. And he was actually okay with it.
That's good. You know, having a supporting families, and it's very important. When you make that decision, you know, and obviously you have the ability to do that, and you capitalize on your ability. You know, what I really admire about you is that you understand your gift, and your gift is the physique you have, and then the focus that you have, and then you capitalize on that, which is really, really important.
So right.
What do you like to go from here? So you're going to play football for the university, then what?
So after the university, you're usually in college for about 3-4 years. I would have my degree by then. And then the next step would obviously be the National Football League.
So you know, hopefully you end up in the draft, and you'd be drafted into one of the, one of the teams.
Correct.
Yeah. Which is your favorite team?
My favorite team? Well, I'm from Michigan, so the Detroit Lions, of course.
Yeah. How upset were you when they made those decisions last time?
See, so the coach is known for going for stuff like that on fourth down, and I couldn't really blame him. He was sticking to what he always does. So it was honestly, if you look back at it, probably a bad call, but I'm glad he has some consistency in what he does. So
okay.
I was indifferent.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I was upset with him. You know, I was like, you don't make that call. You had the other team on the run. You keep him on the run. You don't
for sure.
Because his statistics were not that good converting on fourth down in these situations. And in games like this, because you never know. I mean, Detroit could have won the Super Bowl. This
was
an incredible year for them. What have you learned on the field? You know, I mean, being a football player, there's intense practice. The game is as much psychological as it is physical. What have you learned that you think it was like a valuable lesson?
Well, so I learned that you have to really be locked in on everything you do outside of your actual sport or whatever your discipline is. You have to understand that if you're not putting your at least half of what you think about towards your discipline while you're not doing your discipline at that, you probably won't succeed, or you won't succeed at the level that you would probably want to succeed at. A lot of people can want to succeed but not actually use what they're capable of to succeed at their discipline. It's not just sports.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of boring practices day in and day out. What keeps you going?
I would say my older brother passed away a couple years ago, and yes, we had a bet whether I would make it professionally or not. And he, at the time, we were both very, I wouldn't say argumentative, but we were just annoying to each other. So he made a bet that I wouldn't make it, and I said I would. So
yeah,
that's I just have to win the bet now, I guess.
Friendly annoying, you know. God friendly bless your soul. Yes, I remember. Yeah. I attended his funeral, and that was a sad chapter, but you know, it seems that it made you stronger, and you're forging forward, which is very important.
For sure, I was a completely different person back then.
Absolutely, absolutely. How often do you think about that? I mean, you know, this is something that is a sad part of your you know, your life, but you seem to be using it for more positive way.
Well, I think about it every day, but I don't usually think about it in a bad way. I'm always just trying to live a good life. I practice my religion, so I just have to live the way I'm taught to, and that's about it. I remember him. I pray for him every day. So
absolutely, he's with the Lord. Yeah, he's with the Lord. And what I meant by remembering is remembering that the drive that is putting you into, you know, like you want it to succeed. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, right. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, when stuff gets hard, you can always think about what makes you do what you do. And it's really hard to quit when you have such a pushing factor behind you.
Absolutely. What's your message for those? Oh, before I ask you that, when you told your friends you wanted to go into football, what was their impression?
I think all my friends actually said that I should. Like, my friends are quite... My friends are quite supportive in what I do, so it's not a weird thing for them to say go for it. You know,
that's good.
It's we don't put each other down. If you want to do something, we say do it, but 100%.
Absolutely, that's really good. And your dad is on board. How about your mom?
My mom is always afraid.
Yes,
my mom's always been on board, though. Surprisingly, my mom's always been on board.
You're blessed. You know, blessed with good family, blessed with supportive friends. What would be your message for young people in our community who want to, you know, go for something different, but they really don't want to get out of the cycle?
Well, I would say just think logically, if you can actually see yourself doing a sport at a high level, then there's really nothing stopping you. If you have a vision, then you can always work towards that vision and an end goal. And I would say it will never hurt you trying to do something you want to do. Even if you fail, you will learn from the thing you failed doing, and you will probably be better off after you fail than not doing anything at all.
Absolutely. Failing and it never should never stop anybody if we learn from it and then move forward. And right. You know, as you well know, not every day on the field that you know you're going to be successful, but then you're going to learn from those failures and then move forward. How's your at the university? What's your record, guys?
So last year we went 11-3. Just coming up short in the championship, just losing our bowl game, and we lost our opening game to the University of Illinois.
Wonderful. Well, I'm sure you're going to come back and win that game, right?
Oh, for sure. 100%.
Yeah. Are you a starter or are you
I'm in the rotation right now. I'm still 18 years old, still hungry, trying to get on the field. But
sure.
The college sports right now is a very old sport. It's almost like professionals right now. So.
Sure. Sure. There has been some changes to the sport too. You know, now there are financial aspect of it, and I'm not sure how it's going to shape up. But I'm sure your thoughts and more about success than finances right now.
Right, for sure. Yeah, I'm not really thinking about the finance part of it right now, for sure.
Wonderful. Any final thoughts?
Chase your goals. Just do it. Do what your heart tells you to do, and that's about it.
Wonderful. I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. I really appreciate it. I want to thank your parents for, wonderful upbringing, and then the support that they give you, and then the friends that you have are supporting you as well. And I wish you a lot of luck.
For sure. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We're going to take a short break. Please stay tuned.
With more than 30,000 successful in vitro fertilizations, IVF Michigan is now ranked as one of America's best fertility clinics, according to Newsweek magazine. IVF Michigan fertility centers are the recognized leaders in high-quality fertility care. With locations in Bloomfield Hills and 9 other cities in Michigan and Ohio, IVF has experts in all aspects of the field. A founding member, American Board Certified Dr. Nicholas Shama, is one of the leading reproductive endocrinologists in Michigan and Ohio. He has performed over 20,000 successful IVF cases, and it's helped thousands of couples fulfill their dreams of parenthood. When it's time to get personalized care from Dr. Nicholas Shama at one of America's best fertility clinics, call IVF Michigan Fertility Centers in Michigan and Ohio toll-free at 855-952-9600. 855-952-9600. Get ready for an amazing experience at Ishtar Restaurant on 15 Mile Road in Sterling Heights. Enjoy excellent hospitality from owners Ali Abbaghdadi and Fatty Bonham, serving the best in Mediterranean food. Try Chef Ali Abbaghdadi's famous shawarma, the best Iraqi grills and food, and the best Arabic and international dishes. Dine in our authentic atmosphere or take out. Call 586-698-2585 or check us out on Facebook. Ishtar Restaurant practices all CDC guidelines and is open every day 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Have an amazing experience today at Ishtar Restaurant, 3625 15 Mile Road, Sterling Heights.
Hey, Michigan drivers. Are you sending or answering group chats behind the wheel? Checking emails at the light? Calling family or friends on the commute? Michigan's hands-free law makes it illegal to manually use electronic devices while behind the wheel of a vehicle. Breaking the law could mean fines or even community service. Go hands-free, just drive. It's the law. Learn more at michigan.gov/distracted-driving. A message from the Michigan Office of Highway Safety Planning.
Welcome back, and thank you for being with us. This is Khalil Hashim with US Arab Radio. We've been talking about children and how they are influenced by their parents or peers into certain majors in colleges, and the influence that could shape their lives. With us this morning is Waleed Gamo, Multicultural Services Director and Clinical Coach. Good morning, Mr. Gamo. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, and shout out to you from ACC, where I work.
Wonderful.
The Americas Community Council.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure.
Earlier, we were talking to a young man who his father is a well-known doctor. He's an infertility doctor, Dr. Shama. And his son decided not to follow the footsteps of his father to become a doctor. He decided to do what he wanted to do and become a football player.
So,
which is kind of a little bit unusual in our community. You know, most people really want to, most people follow the footsteps of their parents. They're influenced by that. And in our community, most people want to become doctors, engineers, or lawyers. So how common is that? And what should parents do?
Well, actually, I have 4 kids, and the youngest is 26, and basically, I raised them in a multicultural kind of cross-cultural parenting, and I'm a firm believer that, dialogue is better than argument.
Absolutely. Anytime.
So, Raising kids in this kind of an environment, cross-cultural parenting, it's not easy. It's very difficult, and it takes hard work, and it takes intentional living, not just any kind of living, because really, with what's going on, if we are going, you know, there is a difference between the Middle Eastern way of raising kids and the American way of raising kids. So when we say cross-cultural, we are meaning putting the two cultures in one to be able to raise our children at home. And when we talk about, there are red lines when it comes to cultural issues, when it comes to parenting, that the Middle Eastern parents will not accept.
Sure,
but
sure.
This is one of them that I would encourage the parents to be able to take the cream of the crop of both cultures and put them together. And that's who we are, the two in one. Our kids, we call them, we are the bilingual, bicultural people, the two cultures in one. But our kids, I call them the third culture child, which means three powers impacting their life. Yeah. The home power, which is the Middle Eastern culture, and we move them to schools. We send them to schools. They are there 35 hours a week. So they are learning the American way of life. And with the American way of life and Middle Eastern way of life, there is cultural conflict. And it's not because we have intended, not because we think that the Arab culture is better than the American culture or the American culture is better. No, it's just we got to look at it within the context of the culture. Sure. Each has its own good and bad things. So we take the cream of the crop of both cultures and what is good. And when we say third culture child, what we invest in our children, what we plant, we're going to reap. Parenting, it's not just at the first year of the college. When we send our kids to college and say, you know, go become a doctor. And we begin to raise them and we begin to sort of take their dreams away from them. So parenting begins at the first time of conception. When the child is in the womb, that's when we start really working hard at investing in the stages of development to help them reach adulthood and give them the space to make those kinds of decisions. So parenting, I call it, is a discovery.
Yeah.
And discovery parenting. Why? Because I'm discovering. I don't own my kids. And if I think I own my kids, it's just not going to be a pretty sight in the long term. Because that's what causes a lot of generation gap, a wide generation, the gap between first and second and third generation. And by the time they become 18, they just want to depart. And they will carry with them that parenting style, which will create more depression. It will create more anxiety. It will create more identity crisis as they're growing up. So the third power that impacts our kids, which is the third culture child, is called the question that they ask, who am I as a child? Who am I as a child? Am I going to choose the Arabic way or the American way? And they cannot. They are more Americanized than we think.
Exactly.
And because of that, we have to be careful when we raise our kids not to allow politics to play in the cross-cultural parenting that we're doing. Because if I say poo on America, that means I am really putting my son or my daughter down. So when I say discovery parenting, that means it's a privilege for me to raise my child. I don't own my child. At one point, I'm going to send him out. Send him out to the world. Who am I sending? I'm sending myself as a parent that those kids are going to be bringing back the fruits of my labor, pretty much.
Sure.
So when they go to college, many students actually in the first couple of years of their experience in college, one third of the students actually, they change their major. They're not sure. So my job is to help them be stable.
Yeah.
And when I send them, I got to trust their adulthood their decision to be able to really search what they like. So the first year, probably a third of the students will not stick with what the major that they have. So my job is to play as a support, as a supportive parent.
Exactly.
As an encourager.
Yeah.
As a discovering exactly what my boy or my daughter, their creativity is. Because if I don't do that, and if I force them to do whatever I want, then I'm stealing their abilities. I'm stealing their creativities. I'm robbing them of their dreams. I'm basically dreaming for them. And if I dream for them, they're not going to be self-actualized.
Mm-mm.
And psychologically, they're going to be destroyed pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to the parents, please be careful.
Mm-hmm.
You are responsible. Parenting is very hard. Parenting is not easy. You got to work very hard to be able to raise a child to become 18 and to make their own decision. Don't raise children who are dependent. Raise children who are dependent on you, but independent in life.
Arm them with the ability to make a decision.
Arm them with that. Give them space to find out what they like.
Because eventually
this is, you know, if you send them out, they're going to come back to you if you give them the space to self-actualize their dreams and do what they like. They'll come back. I mean, if you don't, they can't wait until they depart, and they will never come back.
That's true. How do we deal with the language disability? You know, we have in our community, as you well know, parents who don't speak English, children who don't speak really good Arabic. So there is that disconnect. How do we deal with that?
Yeah. And this is what we call cross-cultural effective communication.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is our responsibility as parents. And I understand that there is limited English-speaking people, and we cannot make them speak fluently.
Sure.
But the language of love, Brother Hashim, is important.
Yes.
The language of love will motivate us as parents to seek English as a second language, to ask our kids to teach us, and maintain that empowerment as parents.
Mm-hmm.
Learn whatever you can, because when our kids see that we are role modeling for them, that we're coming here, we're working hard. We can go and work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, without speaking the language. How does that happen? And we can dismiss the importance of the language. So it is very important to learn the terminology, so that we can sit down and at least tell me, son, what you mean when you say this. Can you help me?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, we ask our kids to help us with the applications, with the citizenship classes, with, you know, there are classes, there are English as a second language classes everywhere in the state of Michigan, everywhere in the United States.
And they're free.
And they're free. If you have the will, if you want to be able to communicate with your kids and reduce the gap. We're not saying complete the gap, but reduce it and learn how to speak the language so that you can communicate with your kids. That's the simple foundation that can trigger a lifelong relationship between parents. The ideal relationship is to speak the language. And if you can't, there are people who speak the language and they still do not understand how to communicate, because the words that we have are words to build, not our words to destroy. And if we use those words to build, we can learn those words.
Absolutely.
We can learn. We can go to English as a second language and maximize whatever we can so that we can actually live a quality of life. So we know exactly what decisions to make.
Absolutely.
Life is not just a robotic, mechanical kind of a life. Life is a relational life. And because of that, our kids, if I promote, you know, I have been in this field for the last 40 years as a social worker.
Yeah.
Working with ACC off and on. America's Community Council.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have seen thousands and thousands of families that all they need to do is really connect with their kid, not to disconnect. And there are so many tools out there to help you connect with your child. And if you don't connect, then what's going to happen? You're going to disconnect. Every child want to feel that sense of belonging, feel that sense of security at home, feel that they matter at home. They're not just a child. Oh, many times parents will say, oh, when they get older and get married, they'll become better. No, they're not.
Exactly.
They're not. Don't spoil your child. Yeah. Give them responsibilities at home. Give them space where they can express themselves. One of the most effective way of communicating is listening. Active listening will change behavior of the kids, because what you're doing, you're validating your son, you're validating your daughter, you're validating your grandkids. You're saying to them, you are important to me. I want to take time and I want to be patient to listen. When you listen, you actually are creating a relationship between you and them. So it's important how to listen, how to live, and how to talk. Basically, listening is emptying myself and listening to the people who are sending the message. That's called effective communication. Absolutely. And then living is a role model for my kids to see, for my grandkids to see. Do what's right, plan what's right, because you do it because it's the right thing to do. And then talk. Think before you speak. Give yourself a time before you speak. When you want to speak, put the words. Practice that before you even get connected with your kids. Go sit down by yourself and then tell yourself, I want to say words that will build my people, will build my kids, will build my family. When I do that, I'm creating a family that is a happy family, that is ready to be successful in life. You know, getting our kids to be ready to school is very important. That means getting them to bed on time. That means providing them shelter, providing them, not spoiling them, but giving them the necessary things so that they can build themselves.
Absolutely. What we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Are you going to start a restaurant or a grocery store soon? Do you need floor plans and designs? Call Najee Abood at 734-744-9796. Do you want to buy kitchen and restaurant equipment at discount prices? Call Najee Abood now, 734-744-9796. New Concept Products and Design, the trademark of kitchen equipment. 5% discount on all purchases of $75,000 or more. New Concept Products and Design, new location, 31185 Schoolcraft in Livonia. Learn more at www.newconceptproducts.com. Call Najee Abood, 734-744-9796.
Life for Relief and Development has now been rated as one of the best charities for humanitarian aid. Life's humanitarian projects span the globe, and Life is celebrating its 30th anniversary of providing essential life-saving aid to people and communities in 36 countries, regardless of race, color, religion, or cultural background. Where there is life, there is hope. And when disaster occurs here or around the world, including being one of the first responders to the Turkey-Syria earthquake crisis, Life for Relief and Development rushes in to provide food, medical aid, and shelter to those in need. We are looking to help the earthquake victims, and we take 0% overhead on emergency donations. So please help improve these efforts. Learn more about our involvement to help the helpless and bring hope where it's needed most, and make your tax-deductible donation to Life for Relief and Development now at lifeusa.org or call 248-424-7493. That's 248-424-7493.
At Top Rehab Physical Therapy Clinic in Dearborn, we provide effective physical therapy sessions in order to limit pain and discomfort. Top Rehab provides physical therapy care for any diagnosis prescribed by a physician, and we regularly see and treat conditions such as stroke, TMJ, fibromyalgia, sciatica, joint pain, and more. We use a variety of pain management methods, including modalities, soft tissue mobilization, and therapeutic exercise. If you're in need of physical rehabilitation or physical physical therapy, get the highest quality health care at Top Rehab. Most insurance is accepted and we're open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 8 to 6, Tuesday and Thursday 8 to 5, and Saturday 10 till 2. Call for an appointment today at 313-846-0555. That's 313-846-0555. Choose Top Rehab Physical Therapy Clinic on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn. Life's too short to be in pain.
Welcome back. We're talking to Mr. Gamo about it's not a really difficult task, but it's an interesting task. And you mentioned two things that I think are very important. Number one is trust.
Yes.
We need to develop that trust with our children, if I hear you correctly. And this is very, very important if we have that trust. You know, am I correct?
Absolutely. Actually, it is foundational in the relationship at home, because the sole responsibility is the parents. When the father and the mother are in agreement, when they develop unity, when they develop boundaries for kids, kids actually are asking for boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if I give my child an iPhone and I say, you have your iPhone, you can play with it. If I give them the iPhone and I think they are safe, they're not. So my responsibility is to develop boundaries. What are the boundaries? Boundaries is that, okay, Habibi, I love you. I want to give you this. If I allow them to play more than half an hour to 45 minutes to, you know, other than the fact that this is for their homework, then I am actually poisoning them, mm-hmm. poisoning their abilities. With so much out there, I need to take that time to spend with my child. If I go outside and play in the snow, it is better for me to get sick from the snow as a father-kids relationship, mother-kids relationship, than actually having them to be safe in their own room playing on the gadgets or technology or the iPhone or the iPad and playing games. Hours in and out. The statistics are the studies. Yeah. The studies are showing that kids are playing between 5 hours to 7 hours every day on these iPhones. How in the world are we going to create a mind that is free to be able to be creative?
Absolutely.
So we're giving it's a curse or a blessing with the social media.
Absolutely. The other thing you talked about, you mentioned, and I want to expand on a little bit, which is the harmony in the family.
Yes.
And that's so important.
Yeah. Unity between a father and a mother, a husband and wife. You know, when we go in, we come single in life. When we decide to get married, we become two. And when we decide to have kids, we become more than two. So the ego and the I has to be out of the window.
Yeah.
And the we comes in, and the we matters. The we has to be divided into responsibilities. Husband and wife, if they don't sit down and dialogue and talk and create that kind of a communication with them and get to know each other, they don't develop that unity. They don't develop that trust. Where do you think the kids is going to get trust? If they trust the papa and mama. Yes. They don't trust the outside. You cannot trust. There is no way. So we build from inside, outside. We build ourselves from in, out, not out in. And if we build from in, out, we develop, because we got to let go of those kids. We're not with them 24 hours a day. So if we teach them the right thing to do, they're going to make the choices in the right way. They're going to develop confidence. They're going to develop decisions that they make with their command center, not with their emotions. They know what's right because we teach them what's right. Exactly. And we give them space to be able to self-actualize, to follow their dream. We are behind their back. We're not an obstacle in front of them to make them stumble in life. Life is going to teach them lessons. We're going to teach them lessons, but teaching them is going to be by dialogue and spending time. Do you know that parents are spending only close to 7 to 21 seconds with their quality time with their kids.
That's sad.
Very sad. Extremely sad. And we come at the end of the day and say, how come? I'm blaming the whole, don't blame the society. Blame yourself. Blame yourself for these kinds of things. You know, take accountability. Take responsibility. It is hard to develop stable kids. It's not easy. In one culture, let alone we are doing it in two cultures. Your kids are not, you don't own your kids. Your kids are privileged. And when they become privileged, that's the discovery parenting. That's where you get your kids ready to face school and ready to face life in the long run.
Absolutely. So, final thoughts.
Final thoughts? let's reason with them more than anything else. Let's work on having that sense of belonging at home. Help them to participate in your decision. Teach them skills. Basically, try to help them become more proactive than reactive in life. Get them ready. Get them ready by self-care. Self-care, that means sleep on time. Don't allow your kids to sleep beyond, you know, hours at night and then expect them to go to school and be able to input all the academic and education. They're going to be behind. So I would say your main responsibility as a father and as a mother is to work together to create that unity, to create that harmony, to create that trust together, so that your son, when you listen to your son or daughter, they can listen to you when you speak to them. So, you know, this is something that I will always encourage. Take responsibility and make yourself discovering what you're going to be discovering in your child and support, play as a support system, not as a hindrance in your life with this relationship.
Absolutely. As always, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and really appreciate it.
I appreciate you, brother, and you continue to do a great job in the community. These topics are very important, and I congratulate that a student who is not going against, but he's going with his dreams, and I think the parents will be very happy.
And very proud, too.
And very proud, too, at one point. So work on getting your son and daughter ready for the first year of college.
We're going to take a short break. Please stay tuned.
Ziad Brand. Quality products from our family to yours. Ziad Brothers Importing offers the finest quality products, including brands like Sultan, Kraft, Nestle, Hook, Rico Picon, Donna, and many more. Ask your retailer to carry these fine products because you deserve the very best. For more information, visit our website at www.ziad.com. That's www.ziad.com. Ziad, quality products from our family to yours.
As the weather gets colder, it's a good idea to layer up with scarves, hats, and mittens. Another layer of protection this season is to get your flu and COVID-19 vaccines. You can get both vaccines at the same time. Talk to your healthcare provider or learn more at michigan.gov/COVID-flu-RSV and layer up for some added peace of mind. A message from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services.
ArabNews.com, bringing you breaking news from across the Middle East and the latest on Arabs in America. Get inside the latest headlines with expert analysis and insights at ArabNews.com. Join over 5 million Facebook fans and over 10 million monthly readers. ArabNews.com, news that matters to you.
Welcome back and thank you for being with us. I would like to thank Mr. Gamo for being with us. And also I would like to thank Laith Shama for being with us. As I mentioned to you earlier, that Laith is decided not to go following the footsteps of his father, who is a great doctor in fertility, world renowned fertility doctor in the United States. He decided to go and play football, follow his passion, and follow what he really makes him happy. And I also like to thank Mr. Gama for articulating some of the most important things. And I'm going to go over them just as a summary. Number one, you know, we come from a different country and from different world, from different regions to this beautiful country to build the life for us and for our children. Number one, we have to learn the language. You know, when I came to this country, I didn't speak a word of English. And if I can do it, any one of you can do it. I'm no different than anybody else. In fact, there are a lot of people out there who are much smarter than me. And I take it that you can really learn it. And if you intend, I mean, you don't have to become an expert on the language. If you do, that's great. However, you need to learn enough so you can communicate specifically. Do it for your children. I understand that some people can, you know, get by and get jobs and work and they don't have, and shop and they don't have to speak English. But, you know, you're dealing with a disability. You do not need to do that. Learn the language so you can communicate with your children. You can be a more productive member of society and citizen and parent. And it's not that difficult. A lot of places offer free classes, as Mr. Gamo said. And, you know, just need to invest into that. Learning English starts with listening, starts with learning how to say words, the grammar, and so forth and so on. It's not that difficult. Invest time into the children. It's not enough to go out there and work hard. And I know, you know, almost every member of this community work very hard to provide a better life for their children. And of course, this is a great thing. But at the same time, you still need to spend time with the children and guide them and be a role model. And I know it's much difficult to do than to say, you know, it's easy for me to sit here behind the microphone and start talking about these things. But these are the things we aspire for, you know, whether me or to everybody else. These are the things that I like to hold myself accountable to as well. You know, sometimes I want to go somewhere, then I say, no, I want to spend it with the children. And I'm always glad that I did that. I'm always glad that I did that. So try to invest time with the children. You know, again, be a role model. You know, one of the things that I always tell my children not to do is to spend a lot of time on the phone and on the iPad and so forth and so on. And sometimes I spend more time than I should. And you know, the other day I was thinking about it. It's like, well, maybe that should start with me, you know. And this has been one of my goals this year, to spend as little time as possible on social media, on, even though I use it for my work, but still, you know, work time is work time, but family time is family time. Allocating that family time is so important. And I remember growing up when my father used to return home and we sit down for dinner, and after dinner we just sit down and my father used to tell us stories and talk, and that is really healthy. And I try to recreate that as much as possible. And I'm sure you do too, but we need to do more of that. Mr. Gamo mentioned something very important, is that we are fortunate that we grew up, or we were born in a different culture, in a different country, in a different region, and a different set of values and morals and so forth and so on. And then we came to America where there are different sets of values and morals and a different country, different world. We have the chance to pick the best of both worlds. And what I call is community by design. This is something very important. Community by design is that we design it this way because we're smart enough to recognize the good things that happens there and the good things that happen here. And then we can say, we're going to pick the best of both, merge them together and create that great unit, which is called the family, under those guidelines and under those, you know, new guidelines. And this is why we designed it. We designed it ourselves so we can be better. And hopefully, of course, if we had more help from organizations in the community, that helps. And I'm sure there are a lot of organizations that provide help if we need to, like the ACC where Mr. Gamo works or other places. So, and they're there. Help is there. Today, Google it. Just Google it. Make sure it's a good source. Google it. You can learn a lot. You know, some of the issues that we struggled with, you know, either growing up or when we came to this country, we learned a painful lesson. And I think we should pass on the results of those lessons to our children instead of them making the same mistakes. We don't want them to make the same mistakes. You know, I was telling my son is 17 years old, and he wanted to go into the medical field. And he's been contemplating, you know, which part and all of that. And I said to him, listen, from my experience, you need to figure out what kind of life you want. And you need to design your source of income around the life you want. You know, and I explained to him how many doctors I know that they have left the profession. So just becoming a doctor is not going to make you happy, no matter how much you like it right now. Is this really what you want? And give them the space to make that decision is very important. Being supportive, what decision they make, as long as they make a good decision, they do enough research, they learn more about it, they talk to enough doctors. And we have a great doctors in this community. And every person my son talked to, they said, I welcome you to come and shadow what I do and see if this is something that, you know, that you want to do. Another thing we can do is trying to find out what the trends are. You know, again, Google it. What are trends are in families, in parenting? What are the challenges families are facing, other than financial, of course? You know, what are the trends? Well, what are the issues that we need to work with? And life is getting a lot more difficult every year because new technology is moving very fast. How can we get beyond that? And how can we really be better parents, better individual in this community? How can we be better people, you know? And we need to work on that. Is it really enough just to go out there and work? And I mentioned this before, it's not enough. We have to do our homework. And Mr. Gamo said something very important, and that is parenting starts at the moment of conception, which is true. This is the time where we need to evaluate our lives, evaluate the way we do things, and then try to learn as much as possible. How can I become an effective parent? And all religions, if you're going to look at it from a faith point of view, encourages us to be better parents and better, you know, members of society. So if we do that, then we are on our way to really better family life. And one thing I like to see in our community is we have a lot of people who are schooled in many different disciplines. We have lawyers and doctors and pharmacists and engineers and we have people. I mean, we've come a long way in short time. We have people in Congress. We have people at the State House of Representatives. We have, you know, we have people at the county level, at the city level. We have mayors. We have. One thing I like us to invest as a community in is learn how to become a little bit more professional, develop professionalism, you know, and then try to treat ourselves better and our people in our community better and support each other better. There are numbers of Arab Americans in this area. Nobody knows how many they are. You know, some will say 400,000, 500,000. You know, in the four county area, maybe it's 700,000. Okay. People from the Arab Americans from the Middle East, Arab and Muslim Americans, I should say. It's a huge number. And if we do it right, if you do it by design, we're going to be very, very successful as a community. And, you know, how many people have had their checking account canceled because they sent money to a sick parent or a sick brother or something like that? So why don't we start our own banking system? Why don't we start our own hospitals? Why don't we start our own institutions? So we don't have to be limited and at the mercy of unfair treatment. So community by design, that's the game. I'm not gonna say so much about it. I think I've said enough, and then our guest said enough. Before I close this program, I want to share with you, as you well know, I work in real estate, and I just want to give you a quick update on the market. You know, the market is hot, even though interest rates are high. They're higher than normal. They're in the 6 point something. You know, they're under seven, between 6 and 7. We like them to be between 5 and 6. That's what's normal is. I know that some of us have enjoyed the 2 and 3 and 3.5%. Those are not coming back. So don't even wait for that. Okay. We can't wait for it until it becomes 5 point something, between 5 and 6%. But there are always ways around interest rates. Okay, there are always ways around it. You can buy points to reduce it. You can, you know, take an ARM and then that gives you a good rate for 5 years, 6 years. Then you have to refinance. The key here is that you work with someone who you trust, someone who knows what they're doing, and a good professional person who are experienced, know what they're doing. They will help you. Someone you trust. Someone is not gonna stick in a lot of fees that you really don't need. So the market is very good. If you are in the market for a condo in the city of Warren near the GM Center. We're selling a condo there that is almost brand new. We bought it for a client 2 years ago. She did not live in it for some family issues, and now she's moving to Texas. So it's a beautiful condo, and it's a really good one because not many condos are three bedrooms. This one is three bedroom, 2.5 bath with a master suite, walk-in closet, and a two-car garage. And even it's in really great area. It's very quiet community and near highways, near shopping. And one of the best thing about it also is that it is open space or open concept, which gives you really good place to do entertaining, and has one of the lowest association fee. It's $200. You're not gonna find anything, any condo at $200. In fact, this is a good place if you wanna buy it as an investment and rent it, because you're pretty close to GM Center there on 13 Mile and Van Dyke. This is really a great investment. This is a great opportunity for you if you're first-time homeowner. There are a lot of programs for you as a first-time homeowner where the state can give you up to $10,000 in a startup fees, in a startup loan. It's a free loan, actually, you know, which they give you the money so it can help you with down payment, and if you're qualified, and then you don't have to pay it back as long as you live in the house. You know, you can refinance through them, but you cannot really, you don't have to pay it back. You know, if you decide to sell, then you have to pay it back. But if you don't want to sell, you can live there for as long as you want. You don't have to pay it back. $10,000 is really good when you're buying, if you're a first time homeowner and you're buying a home there. We're looking for a commercial space in the city of Sterling Heights. If you have anything like that, let us know. As far as the condo, I'm holding an open house on Saturday from 12 to 3. And I will post the address of the condo on our website and also on our Facebook page. So if you like to join us there, it's really great. And if you promise to, if you're one of the first 10 people to get there, I always hand out a small sample of olive oil. This is olive oil from my groves in the Middle East. It's organic, cold pressed, hand picked. It's some of the best olive oil you can find around here. It's a small sample of that. If you'd like to join us and just stop by and see the condo. So I want to thank you for being with us. The number, if you have any questions about the condo or if you have commercial space in the city of Sterling Heights, give me a call. 313-819-0101, 313-819-0101. 313-819-0101. That's again 313-819-0101. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for great production, Mike, and thank you for everyone. Have a wonderful weekend.